This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. Fuck yeah. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Open this fucking pit, baby.
I'm Luis Romero. I'm the Fuck Fentanyl guy. This is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast.
Today, yes, it is.
Today, I got a really special guest. I got Dustin from LFG 1904.
Oh, what's up, baby?
Fuck yeah.
I'm here. The Fuck Fentanyl guy. I love it. me and Elise were listening to your shows. You know, we always listen to them when we're in bed, too. It's funny.
Oh, really?
And she was like, God, he's just so cute. You know what I mean? He's so cool. This is Luis Fuck Fentanyl guy, motherfucker.
It was given to me, too. It was a name. I didn't invent it.
So oh, really?
They just keep calling me that. And I'm okay, that's my name. I don't know. It's better than my old nickname. So I'm fine with it.
Really? What's your old nickname?
My old nickname was Carga, which is the slang term for heroin.
Jesus Christ.
It was my identity.
Wow.
I had identity issues.
Wow.
When I was younger.
I bet, man.
But yeah, anyways, man, so this is really rad too, because Dustin not only runs the LFG 1904, he also runs the 1904 print shop, which is my official printing company.
Boom.
I love you guys. You guys are like the most proficient fucking service. And, you know, Dustin helped me make that Fuck Fentanyl Dealer shirt, which is my second name shirt, man, which I know it's a bitch to make.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a bitch. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, bro, that shirt is so powerful. To see me and Travis Millville, shout out. What's up, buddy?
Yeah.
He came over and we were just messing around and he was like sitting there holding the screen, and he was like, man, it's just so sad to see so many names that you know on there, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many names that are probably not even on there, but we know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, the pandemic is something that's real, and I don't think it's ever going to go away, at least not for a long time, you know? I mean,
no.
You know, we've gone through pandemics with drugs. You know, we had a crack one, you know, yeah. And that was huge. And heroin was a pretty big one then, too, but this fentanyl, I believe, Luis, I think that it's going to be much bigger in the future, and I think it's going to be more powerful. Anytime that you have people in a chemistry lab making drugs,
yeah,
it's never a good thing.
No, fuck no.
You know, I mean, I think it's going to get really scary.
Yeah.
I mean, which it already is. I mean, you know so many people because you are the Fuck Fentanyl guy.
Yeah.
So people come to you with all of these situations, and you're probably like, I can only imagine what your thought process is. You know, I mean,
it's heavy.
When you hear about kids dying from, you know, smoking weed for the first time because it's laced with fentanyl, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no more recreational using. That's gone. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like when we were kids, like, excuse me, we can go to a party, you know, and go do blow in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Now kids do that
and
they don't come back.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it is so quick.
Very.
It's so fucking quick. Like, if you don't know what's going on, you just probably think like you took too much, had too much to drink or whatever, you know, like he's too intoxicated and fucking face is going fucking blue.
Yeah.
The life is coming out of him. And it's like, it's fucking sad that we all have to be like little paramedics.
Yeah. That's true too.
And bring a fucking guy back because.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that happened, you know, in my addiction, that happened a few times where people would, you know, fall out. You know what I mean? I've done the sticking an ice cube up their butthole.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know what I mean? I've done all that shit before, like trying to, I don't know how many people I've given CPR to, you know, in the trap house.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being clean and I went back to Crash. That's where I'm from. Uh-huh. Not affiliated with this podcast.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, though, we went there just to go for a group or something, you know, and there was a kid that went on break and he was in the office. Mm-hmm. And I just so happened to be there and I just saw him, boom, went out.
Wow.
It was just a little bit, and I'm giving them CPR right in the office.
Oh my fucking God,
of the treatment center.
In the treatment center.
You know what I mean? And it's just like,
wow, that's so fucked up.
Oh, you know what? We need to start the podcast over, bro. Wow. I'm LFG, but I'm one of your fuck fentanyl models, dog. What the fuck? You didn't announce me as your model, dog. Okay. I'm just kidding, dude. That's good.
All right, let's start. Yes, I fucking love those fucking podcast t-shirts.
For sure, bro.
You got yourself one?
Those are a banger, dude.
Because fuck, yeah, dude, I fucking love them, dude.
Yeah.
And all my guests, they get excited when I shoot them one.
Do you? Okay, that's what's cool doing that, you know? And honestly, you know, I've never even done that for myself. I have, like, you know, the design.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I totally need to do that because that's pretty smart, you know, just to doing what you're doing. I can't tell you how proud I am, man, to be, you know, your friend and, like, doing stuff with you and watching you, you know, do this brand thing. Yeah. And then now you're stepping into, like, a whole new platform, you know?
Whole new ball game.
And, you know, we were just talking before the show, man, like, you have downloads. The fact of the matter is you have downloads. You have, like, people that are wanting to listen to what you have to say or your guest. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing, bro.
And I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn, but, you know.
Toot it, bro.
But it's really rad when people are like, I want a fucking episode every fucking day.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, I mean, I'm trying my best to supply it.
I think you're doing really good because you're knocking them out of park. I swear. I see now that I have a notification because I listen to your show.
Oh, yeah.
And I download it. I get a notification when it comes on, and I'm like, damn, this fool is going for it, bro.
Yeah, dude. And I usually, you know, would book a couple guests a week, you know, just in case somebody doesn't show up and stuff. You know, I definitely wanted at least the weekly thing going on, and everyone shows up. Everyone fucking makes it happen. It's fucking awesome.
That is cool.
Everyone has a fucking story.
Yep.
Every fucking buddy.
That's the beauty behind what we're doing. You know, we're showcasing recovery and we're having a really loud message because some of our stories are really brutal.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time on my show. Women in recovery have the most horrific stories. Dude. They blow us guys out of the water.
Yeah, they do.
The things that they do to themselves to get their drugs. I mean, it's pretty gnarly, you know? And, I mean, even for my wife, you know, it's like, I of course ask the questions and then immediately going like, God damn it, Dustin, why the fuck did I ask that? You know, because just to hear what she even had to go through, you know, and that was even before my time, you know what I mean? But I love her so much. And it's like, God damn, you know, you actually did that, you know?
Yeah, no shit, dude.
But, you know, drugs or disease is powerful, man, or cunning and baffling. And we'll fucking do, we will allow ourselves to do so many things.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. I have so much respect for, you know, the women that hold it down, man. Like, you know, the demoralization but it's just, and it's really hard, you know, and I see it and I notice it in my, you know, when I go to the meetings, it's like, it's so fucking hard for, you know, women, young women, you know, to fucking stay clean. And they really, really need that. Like, camaraderie, I think, even more than us guys, because I think only because it's like it's such a specific relation, you know, you can have, you know, with I think the men got to bond with the guys, but I think it's more important for the women, you know, to get together and
I definitely do.
Yeah,
I definitely do. And I think that, you know, once you get into recovery a little bit more and you, like, work on yourselves, I think it's good to have relationships with women, too, as I'm speaking for a guy now.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of women will tell us what time it is.
Yeah.
And they won't hesitate to tell us what we're doing, you know. And I've had some of my friends in this program, like, really call me out to where I really had to take a look at it. You know what I mean? I had to take a look at my behavior. You know, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, you're new into recovery and you're there for the 13th step and you're drinking the coffee, because majority of the time, that's what we do. I mean, that's at least that's my story. Okay. My story was I came into recovery to where I wanted to meet women. I wanted to drink the coffee and I wanted to fellowship and, I wanted to stay clean. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really, you know, things didn't change for me until I started doing the work.
Yeah.
But it took me 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was in recovery and then I was like really contradicting things because I was like preaching all this recovery, mm-hmm. right? Like go to meetings,
yeah.
share,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah. But I was sharing so I get attention.
Yeah.
I wasn't sharing because it was really something that I meant.
Yeah. It wasn't.
You know what I mean?
It wasn't genuine.
No. Until I started doing the work, I was like, God, I'm a real piece of shit.
Does that sometimes.
You know, I'm a real piece of shit. Fuck. You know?
That mirror to your soul.
Right. Right.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, I did wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Because I was.
It's your show, buddy.
Go yeah, on. No. LFG 1904. What started that? That whole saying, let's fucking go.
So we had a group chat with me and other friends in the program too, uh-huh. right? And, you know, it started out with, you know, where let's fucking go. Where are we going to go riding to?
Okay.
Or, you know, we're, yeah. it was just a group chat with our friends. Like we just talked hella shit. You
yeah,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And goofed on one another. And, you know, it transpired into a clothing brand. So the story goes, I used to live right down here in South Bay too. Well, actually I lived in Barrio Logan.
Oh, that's kind of close.
So we, and my spot was like the spot, right? So everybody, we had a compound, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, we were all just fucking on fire for recovery. I mean, on fire, going to meetings every day. This was before COVID, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just for sure. Different times.
It really was. However, we did start the brand in 2020. But that's another story behind that.
Okay.
So, you know, Graf and Rafa, they were talking about this for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I'm more or less of the guy like, fucking, let's not talk about it. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I specifically remember where I was at. I was on my porch and they were outside smoking a cigarette. And I'm just like, you know what, guys? I'm about to get my bonus. Let's just fucking do it. Like, wow. You know what I mean? We're already talking about your guys' shirt being let's fucking go.
Okay.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, you know what I mean? right.
Let's fucking do it. And we immediately found a screen printer through Clea, and he fucking printed us 60 shirts, and we sold out within, like, that first week.
Paul, fuck yes.
You know what I mean? And it was like, holy shit, you know? And we had a lot of people that were in recovery, like, saying, hey, look, we want to support you, but let's fucking go is just a little bit too strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said... Okay, so then we came out with, we all had of you know, a collective group of what we were going to do for the next shirt. We love the circle logo.
Yeah.
We love the LFG, like big and fucking big. Loud, you yes. know, in the center.
Yeah.
And then we came up with never settle, never quit, all or nothing. And if that doesn't say recovery, I don't know what is. But then also, it goes into just life skills. You know what I mean?
It's like
the things that you never want to give up, right?
Right.
Keep pushing, never settle. And that was a huge thing for an addict in recovery.
Oh,
we
yes.
settled so many times.
Yeah.
So many times. Our potential was gone, you know, because we thought we didn't have any potential. We're just fucking, at least for me, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I thought that I couldn't amount to anything besides shooting dope.
Right.
You know what I mean? I thought I was going to die with a needle in my arm.
Yeah.
And that's the fucking reality of it.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. And then, you guys started the brand in 2020 and it just fucking took off from there.
Thank God for COVID.
You are the first person to say that here.
Like, honestly, thank God for COVID because everybody was strapped up in their house. They couldn't do anything.
No.
And so online sales, dude, people just wanted to support us too. I mean, honestly, if it hadn't have been for a recovery, LFG would not even exist because the people in recovery supported the brand when others didn't. You know,
yeah,
and that's the beauty behind recovery, is I can put out a shirt and I have like some day one homies, day one, you know, fans, customers, whatever the fuck you want to call them. At this time, they're family. You know what I mean? Like day one people.
Yeah,
and I can still drop a shirt and they'll fucking buy it even if they don't want it.
Yeah,
and that's just cool support, right?
Right.
And you know, the fact of the matter is, if you can start a brand and you can sell out within the first week, that's something pretty cool to say.
And oh, fuck
and
yes.
It's all due to recovery. You know what I mean? Yes. And I'm sure some normies bought the shirt. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, right, right.
But, you know, majority of it was people that were in recovery.
Oh, fuck yeah. And, you know, my background's exactly the same.
Yeah.
The people in recovery, man, had my back from the very start.
Right.
And I don't forget.
Yeah, no. You definitely know what I mean? Not. Yeah, and that's the thing with us. You can't forget where we come from. Yeah. We got to stay humble, too. Yeah. And that's really hard, you know, because...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, you know, being on social media and, you know, putting yourself, I don't know about for you, but I never expected this of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I never expected to be a host of a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I never expected to be a guy on Instagram, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, yelling and talking.
Yeah.
And doing
yeah.
all the things.
Hyping that, the world up.
You know, honestly, I would never imagine. But the thing of it is I met these two guys that wanted to start something.
Yeah.
And I was the financial backing and I'm like, fuck it, let's go and let's do this. And then it grew on me and it was like, holy shit, like this is something that I can do. This is my interest, you know?
Yeah.
And for so many years, man, I was like questioning, like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Mm.
You know? And like, I really found this LFG is not my identity, but it's definitely a part of me.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's two different ways. Like you can have an ego to where it's like, I'm fucking LFG motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, or you can allow the brand to take, you know, its own identity, which it really has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I say that all the time. LFG is way bigger than me. Way bigger than
me. And I feel that.
The podcast, the pot fuck fentanyl is way bigger than you.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You
know? Way bigger.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you have that right mindset, I mean, people are going to gravitate towards that.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
They're going to enjoy what you have going on.
Yeah.
And you come up with other things too, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just fuck fentanyl. Like that fuck fentanyl dealer shirt, that was very fucking smart.
Yeah, it was something I wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah, the fucked up part about it is you're going to have to make fucking, you know, a bigger shirt because there's going to be more names on that motherfucker, you know?
Yeah, it already started.
Yeah.
It already, it's really, really fucked up, man. It was, it takes a toll on me to make it. Like, yeah, like the very first one, I had my uncle, it was the last name, and I just was like, I can't fucking do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and when I... kind of got over the grieving a little bit. This was all like in August. You know, it was like I had one uncle die from meth. I had one uncle die from fentanyl. I had one of my models, Eric, passed away.
Yeah.
All in the same fucking week. It was just it was not a fun time for me.
Yeah.
And you know, so many people really fucking loved it. So many people really, really just want to put that name on. So that's why I made the second one.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put that message on.
Yeah, I think it's great.
And it's fucking, that's it, man. And we're probably going to be doing it, you know, as long as I keep doing Fuck Fentanyl.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. And and I definitely love your guys' service, man. Yeah. You guys kick fucking ass.
Appreciate that, bro.
And I also wanted to, you know, get a little bit of your backstory because I'm not so familiar with it.
Sure.
You grew up here in San Diego?
I did, yeah. I grew up here in San Diego. I grew up in Claremont.
Okay.
I lived there until my parents got divorced when I was seven. Probably eight. And then I moved to a little town called Ramona.
Oh, Jesus.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful city.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the best upbringing. You know, there was a lot of things going on. You know, I was the middle person of my parents' divorce. So, you know, that when you're an adolescent at that age, at seven and eight, your little brain doesn't know what to think, you know?
Yeah.
And it really stunted my growth. And it made me become really angry.
Yeah.
You know, it really made me really just have zero care and concern for anybody.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I felt trapped and stuck, you know, to where, you know, I always say this on my podcast and I also say it, you know, in a meeting too, you know, our behavior, our addiction doesn't start when we start using. It starts with our behavior.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And it took me a long time because I just thought for the longest time I was just a dope fiend. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm just a fucking dope fiend. I'm an alcoholic, pity party, fuck me. You know what I mean? Like that's just me, you know, I was doing a podcast the other day and the person that I was talking to was pretty much like a normie, you know? And I was just saying, you know, like my best thinking was, you know, pulling a syringe and filling it from the toilet water of in Tijuana that shoot up my veins. You know what I mean? Like gutter bottom junkie. And like, I was super proud of that. You know? I don't know if you were, but I was really proud.
Oh, I was. I had really, that name for a reason.
Yeah, I was really proud. And I mean, it's nothing to be proud of, you know, that's for damn sure. And it took a lot of years, you know, it really did. Because I evolved so many times in my recovery.
Mm.
There's so many things that I've done, you know, to how I was in the beginning stages, how I was in the secondary, third, you know what I mean? It's like at every chapter of my life. It's funny, my wife just brought this up, and I'm like, God damn, it made so much sense to me. Mm-hmm. We have so many chapters in our life, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that chapter of me using, you know, well, it starts off with the bad behavior, you know?
Yes, it does.
So I grew up in San Diego. I got kicked out of 4 elementary schools.
Oh, shit.
Now, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. Maybe. You know? And my attitude always got me in trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was never a big kid. I was always a skinny, skinny little kid. But I would throw hands like a motherfucker. It didn't even matter. You know, I was just angry, man. I was so fucking angry.
Right.
There was just so many things that went on in my childhood that was just disturbing. Cruel, fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, it took having a son to where I'd be comfortable and okay with somebody touching my head.
Mm.
So I used to get slapped in my fucking back of my head, and it used to trigger.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, my fucking friend has done that, and I fucking wanted to swing on him. In recovery.
Just playing around.
Just fucking around, and he had no idea. And I told him, fucking pointed my finger at his face, and I said, don't ever fucking do that.
Ooh. Man.
You know, because it brought me back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that way. Like I said, having a kid really changed me, you know, in so many aspects. And having this daughter changed me even more.
Really?
Yeah. I'm way softer. Even though I'm a little fucked up still and I do some fucking out-of-pocket shit.
Sure.
You know, that I have to make an amends for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking. Man. I'm blessed. Yep. I'm fucking blessed.
Yeah. Ah, fuck yeah, man. Having kids is like such a miracle and just an evolution of you know, it's not about you anymore and all that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal too. I already have a 19-year-old.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But I lost her, you know, I gave her up.
Oh.
Okay. I gave her up during my addiction. So you know, this is a redo for me. Which I know that doesn't sound right, and it sounds mm-hmm. fucked up, you know, to say that. Like, once you're a father, you're always a father, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like the guy where it's like, you know, I would be really shameful to even bring it up because there's so many men out there that's, you know, fucking great guys, great dads, and took care of their kids. You know what I mean? Well, that's just not my story. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I kept that from people for a long time. Like, my close friends knew that, but I would never share about it.
Course.
On a platform, I definitely wouldn't share about it in the meeting because I wouldn't want you guys to judge me.
Yeah.
You know, and that took a lot of years for, you know, me to share about something like that in the meeting. And then, of course, the moment that I do, I had so much love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So much love. And the whole time I'm just like, oh, they're going to judge me because I'm a fucking deadbeat. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, I did all the right things in the beginning. You know, I paid my child support and da da da. Yeah. And I was doing all these things when we separated. However, the drugs took over. Yeah. And then I just start being a dirtbag, and I just gave her up.
They're just like, I'm gone.
Yeah, gave her up. So when I say it's a do-over for my life completely, you know, of changing my character, changing the way I think, my thought process, the way I am with my wife.
Yeah.
You know, all that shit goes hand in hand. Trust and believe, I am not a fucking perfect person.
Yeah.
There ain't no fucking way.
Yeah.
Let me know when you find one, though. Yeah. I'll fucking,
maybe,
you know,
God. Yeah,
that is true.
Do you ever talk to your first child?
I did. I reached out. So no, the answer is no. However, I reached out to her on her 18th birthday because once again, it's about me, right? Me. And so I knew that she was turning 18. I know her birthday, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that she had a social media platform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was stalking her for a little while and just watching her life. And I definitely regret, but then I don't at the same time because I was able to see her, you know, because she didn't block me. She blocked me. And I don't know if it was her mom that had access to her social media platforms, you know, and that could very well be. The fact of the matter is she read it. I did see that. and then I was blocked. So, I mean, the message that I wrote was still received.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, I just need, what I need to keep doing is exactly what I'm doing, you know, and not try to push so many things. And that is one of my character defects. I push a lot, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm very, you know, in control, you know, and it's a really fucking awful thing. It really is, because I don't allow other people to do what they can do, because I'm already in, I'm in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, no, let's do this. And I got to watch it, you know. That's why I told you, man. It's like, you know, doing a podcast, and I got to just answer your questions, and not, I want to ask you questions. You know what I mean? I'm fucking fired up over here, baby. I got the microphone on, baby. I see the keyboard and shit. Like, I'm ready to go.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it's okay though. You know, I just appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, dude.
Like I said a little bit ago, I think it's just, you know, I'm really proud to be your buddy, because to watch you keep doing this shit, bro, it's really cool, man.
Fuck yeah, man. And, I was curious. So, because I remember we were talking on your podcast like a year ago. Yeah. So you went to the crash program, and that's how you stay clean and sober.
Yeah.
And you were introduced to Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah. That's how I was introduced.
Oh, fuck,
I'm gonna
put
this on my phone here.
Yeah, no worries.
Got to talk about, you know, our sponsor Zen here.
Ah!
Zen. No, I'm just kidding. The story goes, I've been to one program, or not even a program, I've been to a rehab in Utah.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was a great place. It was a pat your ass, you know, and, you know, they had a chef and,
ooh,
you know,
fancy.
Yeah, it was totally fancy. And, you know, I'll never forget my mom. She was like, man, I can't believe I spent $30,000 on you to go to a rehab. And you can't stay clean, but then you go to a county-funded program in downtown San Diego, and you fucking stay clean.
Right.
She's like, I'm grateful that you're clean, but she's like, God damn, you know?
I could have saved some of that money.
Yeah, yeah. If I would have known better, you know? And that program was definitely not easy. At that time, it was
hard.
It was by far probably one of the toughest programs in the nation to go through.
Oh, fuck, you know? Yeah. But when did you go?
2015.
Oh, okay.
For no, sure. No. 2014. Sorry.
14.
Oh, okay. No. 2015. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. It's right around my clean date. So I got there September 3rd.
Wow.
So it's funny, man. There's a lot of dates that I'll remember, you know, and that's, and that's definitely one of them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know,
you won't forget your first day at crash.
No, definitely not. I got served too, you know.
Really?
I got served. Yeah. I came in and with a tank top on and flip flops, and they're just like, yeah, you're already the dress code, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They lit you up right there.
Yeah, I got lit up pretty bad. And, you know, it's funny, man. I really enjoyed my time there.
Oh, you did?
You know, I really did. I mean, first of all, it was co-ed, right? You know, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I just got out.
Something to look at.
Yeah, I just got out, you know, and, there's a lot of people there that, you know, I could relate with, and there were some people that I couldn't, you know. And the thing about it is, the people that I couldn't relate with, I just couldn't relate with them because I hadn't worked on myself at all.
Mm.
You know, I went in there with an attitude like I was still locked up. You know what I mean? Chest out.
Yeah.
Chest out.
Yeah.
Walking the fucking green top is what we called it.
Right.
You know, trying to run my own program and even trying to politic in there. And it was like,
Yeah,
that's not going to fucking really work.
It ain't going to fly in there, especially.
No, definitely not. And, man, I was there for 8 months.
Oh, wow. That was a good, isn't that longer than you're supposed to?
Yeah. Well, the requirement is 6 months.
6 months. Yeah.
The requirement is 6 months.
And they stayed there 8.
I think it was 8. Let's see. September, October. Yeah, so about 7 months, actually.
7 months, okay.
So, the requirements for 6 months, you know, I stayed there until basically I knew that I was going to be encountered. And the previous week, I already was off probation. And that was the requirement, right? So, probation, they came in, my probation officer, lovely fellow, came into jail, and he was like, hey, look, I can get you out right now.
Yeah.
But you're going to go to a program. And I said, yeah, well, which one, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And it was crash. And of course, everybody, you know, that that listens, that has been locked up before, everybody has something bad to say about Crash.
Oh yeah, they do.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yep, and right, and I've been a, you know, a fucking follower, and so I would just listen to what other people say, which they really didn't even know, you know. And
right.
So he told me Crash, and I said nah. Oh cool. And he's like, all right, cool. Well, once you get out of here. You know, mind you, it was like 4 more months too that that I needed to stay in there for. And I said, okay, yeah, no problem. You know, I'm just going to go to these meetings and shit. You know, I'm going to reconnect with some sober people and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Gotcha. I say that every time and then I get high.
I know, right? Yeah. The dialed in shit.
Every fucking time I say that, then I get loaded. But, and so I go to check in and he goes, hey, thanks for checking in. You're going to Crash.
Ooh.
And I said, you fucking cocksucker. I just fucking stayed in there for 4.5 months. You know what I mean? Like, if you were just going to say it's mandatory, you cocksucker. But, you know, I should have thought about it, you know, and I should have known better.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to be off paper in the middle of March. And I violated so many times to where the guy's like, look, if you violate one more time, you're going to get what you signed for. You're going to get what you signed for. It doesn't even matter. If you leave Crash and you fucking violate, say whatever you sign for, you're doing it, and I'm gonna make sure that you're gonna do it. And so that was like a lot of fear, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I've done some jail time. I've never done prison time, so I'm like, fuck me, here we go. You know,
yeah.
And so that kind of scared me straight. And then so I didn't really mind Crash. It was better than being locked up. I'm looking at women. You know what I mean? I'm checking out chicks and fucking, you know, you couldn't talk to them, so it made it even worse, right? So in Crash, you can't talk to the women.
Yeah, the imagination is just...
You know what I mean? So you're sitting over there and you're googly-eyeing on chicks, you know what I mean? By the way, you can get you can get slipped for that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
For googly-eyeing a girl.
Googly-eyeing a girl.
You know, it just
3-second rule, they called
it. Yeah. You know, I was... you know, to be honest with you, man, looking back at it, I just manipulated my way through that, too.
Mm.
You know, I'm a class A manipulator.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know, class A. No problem. You know? Yeah. And I definitely just manipulated my way out of certain situations until I finally got caught, you know?
Yeah.
I got caught, you know, flirting with a girl in there. And there was a lot of speculation and rumors going around to where we got with one another, which that really wasn't the case. But I knew that I was going to be encountered. And so I set, you know, typical Dustin fashion. Yes. I flipped them off and said, fuck you, I'm out of here.
Wow.
And I immediately went into a sober living.
Yeah.
And I just start going to meetings, you know? And so a lot of the guys that graduated from Crash, you know, they were at this sober living house too. So it was kind of cool, you know, like it was like my herd, right? So
of course.
I'm already, you know, going to meetings and, you know, next thing I know, you know, my fucking best friend that I had in there, he went, he left too. Right. So the house got on, put on some band. Right. So then it was like all my friends that were in Crash are coming out. And we're just like, I already start paving the way. Like, this is what we're doing. You know what I mean? Boom, 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 boom. Start hitting meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And, to be honest, man, we haven't looked back ever since. You know what I mean? It's just been nonstop. And
fucking awesome.
Recovery has really fucking changed my life. And like I said in the beginning, it was like, you know, I would go there for coffee and I would go there for women. I remember we would just follow the hot girls around whatever meetings they were going to.
Yeah.
We were going to meetings in South Bay. We're going to
people
meetings.
Do that. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. You know, we were just going to where, you know, our egos could, you know, pump us up even more.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Man, I'll tell you what, man. The beginning stages of my recovery were probably some of the funnest times I've ever had in my life, though.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, the relationships that I was building, I was starting to feel feelings again.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really, like, feel my feelings until I did the work. You know, once I start doing the work, you know, it's all downhill from there. I'll tell you what, there's commercials I could watch now, Luis, where I'm like, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay, man. Like, honestly, for the longest time, I was a stuffer. You know, I stuffed my feelings.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't allow emotion. You know, I'm an abused kid. You know what I mean? I'm abused. Like, the word abused. You know what I mean? Like, physically, mentally, exhausted, abused. You know? And there was so many times in my life to where I would get, you know, slapped around if I was crying. you know? Mm. And I showed emotion because
I see,
you know, I was around somebody that didn't believe in that, you know, men shouldn't cry and
yeah,
you know,
it's always,
don't show your fucking emotion.
It's a stigma of sort.
And, you know, that's why, you know, skipping ahead, it's even with my kid, you know, like there's been, you know, people might say like, why do you call him sweetheart? Cause I want him to be sweet. You know what I mean? Like, I want my son to know, like, I can call him fucking honey. You know what I mean? Like, I want to show, like, love and compassion, but at the same time, show authority, too. You know, I don't want my kid to be a fucking asshole. You know? Right. But at the same time, show him love, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I never felt love. Like, I really didn't. You know, I felt love through certain people, you know, but the people that really, that I wanted to feel love, you know, I didn't feel like love. I felt like I was, you know, used and abused pretty much, you know? So being abused, it goes against a lot of things, man. Like my fucking whole thought process and, you know, stunning my growth and all of these things, man, just stopped. And I started working on myself, man. Yeah. And my spirit started coming back and it felt like, you know, a fire hydrant, you know, when you open that fire hydrant, it just explodes. Well, that's how it felt. You know what I mean? Like that's how it felt for me. And, you know, I will be truly 100% grateful for that forever because I'm okay with who I am today and I'm okay to like sit and cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just am.
Fuck yeah, dude. What's your clean date?
6/11/15.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
All right, oh man. Here.
Woo! Fuck yeah.
That's fucking 90 awesome.
Days, 90 days from 9 years, man.
It's fucking,
it's insane.
Wow, dude. That's fucking awesome, man.
I know.
You accomplished so much.
Yeah.
And just in that, you know, 9 year period, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, addicts are some of the most intelligent, I mean, everything about an addict is just so fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once we put our minds to something, there's no stopping us. There really isn't. And that's what I tell everybody. If they ever want to start a clothing brand or a podcast, like I'll be an open book because there's plenty of meat on this bone. You know, I'm not the guy that's going to be like, no, you probably shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, very territorial. I'm an open book.
Yeah.
I think everybody should find what they can do. And you know, I say it all the time, man, throw something against the wall until it sticks, man.
Yeah.
You know, just do it.
Hell
but
yeah.
You just do it and stay. The thing that I can also say, if you are going to do something, just be committed.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you're not committed, people will see that you're not committed, and then they won't take you serious.
Yeah.
So if you want to do something, just stay committed. Yeah. And honestly, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
You know?
It falls in place.
Yeah, absolutely will.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so I've shared this before, but like, so before Fuck Fentanyl, you know, I never really like paid attention to local clothing brands.
Sure.
You know, because I just kind of wear like, same fucking clothes all my life. But I you know, but when I started going, you know, creating the brand and then going out there and stuff and being with other like local clothing brands like LFG 1904 or the Dollface Club or you know, Plead 5, you know, all these other guys.
Yeah.
I just grew such a fucking appreciation and respect for it, man. Cause it's so much work. And it's like, it's almost like a child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for me at least, you know.
No, for
like,
sure.
And I just like, I just truly, truly like got mad love and respect for any person that starts a brand. That's why for me, it's never going to be like this, like territorial, like, oh, I'm doing this. You can't get in on this. Like it's like, right. To me, it's like, dude, just fucking let's go. Like we're like a band, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we're all just trying to fucking go out there and like, you know, well, for me especially, spread my message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I welcome anybody, you know, to start a brand and you know, you can do fucking podcasts. Just buy the goddamn machine and you know what I mean? And do it. You know who egged me on was Rafa.
Yeah.
When we were up in Vista, for Cash and Carry, he was egging me on, like, and I was like, all right, fuck it, you got it in my head, and
yeah, it's good,
bam, and done
for the podcast.
Yes,
that's awesome. Well, I can say this too. I will give everybody respect until they disrespect me.
Oh, that's true too.
So here's the thing with that. When you start a clothing brand, like, you got to be authentic. And there's some brands that have, like, taken from me.
Oh.
And, you know, they'll follow my followers, like my family members. They'll use the same sort of lettering that I use.
Oh, my God.
One person took a motorcycle and just took some parts off of it, but it was my design. You know, that shit right there is fucking weak. You know, if you're going to do something, you know, be creative and do something yourself. You know what I mean? I honestly, hey, listen, I get fucking offended when I see people wearing fuck fentanyl that are not even around here. Like, the people in Orange County, you know what I mean? Like, that's my guy's shit. You know what I mean? But you know.
I got you.
I hold my brand really, really close to me.
Yeah.
You know, it is like my child. You know, I will fight for it, you know? And
fuck yeah, dude.
But, you know, I will 100% allow anybody to come into my space, you know, until I feel like I'm disrespected. And by that, you know, you steal, you know, don't steal, just fucking get something creative and, you know, do yourself. And I have so many friends that have brands too. And I'll, like, shoot stuff to them. Like, hey, like, I know that you did something similar like this. I was thinking about doing this. Are you cool with it? You know what I mean? And I've had people go like, that's pretty close. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I won't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll fucking give that person the respect.
Yeah,
you know?
Just give them that. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I feel I'm on the same boat too, you know, like, you know, just, you know, I had to get rid of some toxic people out of my brand because, you know, it was just, what do you call it? Like a dick measuring contest for bragging rights. And I'm like, you know, I'm not about that. Right. You know, you can go on, do your own thing. And I'm just going to keep just being me.
Yeah. Be authentic.
And be authentic.
And people will see that, though. That's what I was saying, man. Like, you know, there was people in my life too that were, you know, associating themselves with the brand for the clout, you know, and utilizing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, to me, it's like, it's just a waste of time. You know what I mean? Like, if you want something like that, then kind of, in my opinion, go, you know, you can go find it elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
But don't try to fucking, you know, manipulate the brand for, you know, you getting girls or, some chicken shit like that.
Some chicken shit. I feel that. Feel that, man. And I have kind of noticed, you know, recently, so you and your wife are you guys doing the podcast together now?
So she's done a few. She actually wants to start her own podcast. So,
oh, got you.
Like, she's really taken off on TikTok, man, to where it's like, I'll even plug her right now. Go follow her at Elise Woolsey on TikTok because she's really, she has this, like, fucking gift.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Like, she, you know, communicates and talks to these other moms, and they just work through, like, for instance, like, she suffered through postpartum, like, really bad this pregnancy, right? And so she, you know, did a couple of videos, and the reactions that she was getting from people were just outstanding. Obviously, there's a lot of trolls, you know, that still want to, you know, demoralize and say some awful things, you know, to her. But the thing about it is, man, is like, what she's doing is real special, and it actually helps her too, because she gets great feedback from other moms, you know. It's almost like, you know, recovery, we all help one another out, you know. It's like the elephants, you know. We don't let one fall. And so, you know, her,
I love that.
Her being in recovery. So anyways, answer your question, she wants to start a podcast. She's definitely done shows with me. We're still trying to work the things out, like she just had her sponsor on, Marie.
Oh yeah,
that was a fantastic episode, and she was on there and she wanted to be a co-host, but she said that I had a look to where I didn't want her to talk. And I'm like, no, you're a co-host. Like, talk.
Can I talk? It's
please talk. But she's fantastic. She's really good, man. She's better than me at some things. You know what I mean? And she can, she's real witty. She's really fast. She can, when she does her podcast, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be all about mom talk.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. Cause it was just something I noticed. It just seemed like you guys,
yeah. I mean, she's going to be, now that the brand is just, you know, solely mine.
Yes.
She's going to help out a lot more. Before, you know, she really didn't have a say in it, you know, and even, you know, the other significant others too, like, they really did, we didn't allow them to have a say because it was like our shit, you know, which was pretty idiotic because majority of our followers are women.
On LFG. I know. Yeah. A lot of women love LFG.
It's wild to me. Like, I look at the analytics or like the insight stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, there's a lot of women that follow this brand, you know? Yeah. And you know, for whatever reason, we do have a lot of women that ride with us, that support us,
right.
that like, you know, buy gear and all that sort of thing.
That's right.
So she's going to be, like, for instance, we have, like a week of Elise takeover and she's going to do her own drop.
Oh, cool.
You know, and it's going to be primarily women, you know, obviously the women that follow the page. And, you know, the thing, what's cool about the brand is like, it doesn't have to be one thing all the time, you know? And that's why with, you know, my brand, it's like, there's so many different avenues, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we ride motorcycles. Yes. We're in recovery. Yeah. We do a podcast.
Yes.
And, you know, with Elise coming in to like do this little Elise week, it's going to be pretty cool because it's going to allow women to probably like, you know, kind of like the page more and, you know, follow along.
Yeah. That's why I noticed it. And I was like, I thought it was a really cool balance.
No, I definitely like her. I had her on for the, you know, an episode and she talked about her postpartum and like what's going on with us and and stuff like that. And it really, took off. It was really a great episode. And, you know, I look forward to doing stuff with her. You know, I really can't talk about some things that are going to happen soon, but, you know, I'm excited. No worries. I'm excited for our future, man.
Yeah.
But, I can't wait to announce some stuff. I'm going to announce like some big things probably in the next couple weeks, probably 2 weeks to where
get ready to in.
And, you know, it's just going to be exciting stuff, man, because at the end of the day, what I can say is you only have one life. We only have one life and we need to do what we feel is right for our family.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely. I love it, man. And I love seeing you guys do stuff and getting the kids, you know, and it's just like, it feels like it's a wholesome family thing, you know?
It is.
And then you go out and you ride the bikes with your homies and shit. That shit's fucking, it's just really fucking
for
cool.
For sure. I mean, listen, you know, social media is a, you know, it allows people to get into our lives and see what's going on, you know? But, you know, a lot of times the things that happen behind closed doors are, you know, just like normal people problems, you know?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Our relationship has grown tremendously, but there's still a lot of work that we have to do, you know, and we're both in recovery and, you know, you know, it's not that being in relationship and recovery. See, I used to say all the time, like being in a relationship recovery is like one of the hardest things. No, it's not really the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really fucking beautiful. As long as the two people are working on themselves,
The
moment that somebody isn't working on themselves,
it gets hard.
It gets hard.
And it gets complicated.
Know? And that's why we have to push one another constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. We have to be in a respectful way. We have to be that great partner to say, hey, you know, not like call your sponsor, but like, hey, you know what I mean? Like,
I just saw a meme that it was like, call your sponsor, like a couple fighting.
Right. But it's like, you know, you don't want to say that directly, but you definitely want to be there for support and be like, you know, I don't think that you're, you know, you're kind of acting sideways, you know, and you know, what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, man. Like, I don't know anybody that has a perfect relationship.
I don't either.
And I mean, I'm still working on my relationships with my guy friends. You know what I mean? Like, no relationship is perfect, you know, but some are just much easier than others.
Of course.
You know? So that's okay. But, I'm excited, man. Like I talk about my wife and I'm so proud of her, like on a daily basis, like to see her go through, this situation with postpartum and like go through and walk through so many things and still have hiccups, but like, you know, hours, days, even like down the road, like really recognize those and, you know, persevere and just get through them. You know what I mean? Like when you watch anybody like walk through something that was really traumatic and hard.
Yeah.
And they fucking come out the other side shining.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing beautiful than that, man.
Oh, fuck yeah.
There's nothing beautiful than that. So, I just have a lot of respect for women, when it comes to postpartum, because to me, like nobody really talked about it or I just didn't pay attention maybe, you know, but it's a thing. It's a serious thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most women keep it to themselves because they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be at all.
I think
that they need to talk about it. And I think that they need to share more light into the situation because I think it can help a lot of other women because I think women feel like, they're all alone, you know, even in recovery, they're all alone. They only have a few people that they can talk to. And now look at going on a social media platform. Isn't for everybody. I get that,
I get
you know,
that.
But I think if Elise is somebody that is like a spokesperson in some sense. And even though that's probably the wrong wording for it, because I know that she's not.
Okay.
But she's somebody that they can reach out to when they're struggling.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that even though that she's going through some things, you know, even, you know, right now, there's some things that are going on with her that,
yeah,
you know, that this postpartum thing just doesn't go away.
No, right? It doesn't.
It just doesn't go away. There's going to be some really great days and there's going to be some really fucking awful hours. It's not days. Yeah. It was days at one time and now it's just hours, right? But those fucking hours are brutal.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, for her to be that outlet for other people is just fucking beautiful.
Fuck to watch, yeah. Man.
Like it just, it fucking brings so much joy to me and it makes me just so grateful for recovery. It really does at the end of the day, because it all turns back to what the fuck I just did, you know, in my life to be able to change.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better than change. Change was such a scary thing for so long.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
You know, I wanted to stay consistent on being a fucking dirtbag. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be consistent on fucking getting my dope. You know, I want to be consistent on, you know, doing crime. You know, all of those things. And now it's like my consistency level is at a different level. You know what I mean? Honestly, Buck, and this is not my ego. This is just fact. My fucking hustle is unmatched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's all due to recovery. Oh, and everybody has that.
Everybody. Oh, fuck yeah.
Everybody has that. And that's the thing. Most people don't. They just think like, what am I going to do when I get clean? What am I going to do this? How about just start day one? Go with morning affirmations. That's a huge thing. You know what I mean? Half the time we look at ourselves in the mirror and still fucking want to talk shit about ourselves, you know? Or we find flaws.
Yeah.
We'll turn that shit around. Be positive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Say you're a good-looking motherfucker.
That's you know right.
I mean? You know what I mean? Like, be that guy when you walk into a room and like, yeah, I'm that motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
No,
you know?
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we spent so many, you know, years hating ourselves.
100%, bro.
Yeah.
And really hating ourselves so bad to where we want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that thought process of dying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as low as you can go.
That is.
It's not even about being selfish, man, because, you know, that is a character for sure, being selfish. But at the same time, I couldn't stand to look at myself and it was past the point of what I was doing to my family. I mean, it was way past that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even give a fuck about that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The sympathy and the poor me shit was out of the way. I just fucking couldn't look at myself anymore.
Yeah.
I was disgusted.
Yeah.
Like that. I allowed my addiction to fucking overrule my life. Yeah. What? Like, I allowed this to fucking happen. Like, I allowed myself to be homeless, rolling a fucking suitcase in downtown San Diego, trying to find a dirty rig to shoot up. That was where my addiction took me, dude.
Yeah.
One of my last nights using heroin, I shot up a whole gram.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I didn't that I'm here today is because I had meth. So I had like a teener, like just a tiny bit of meth. But I wrote a note, everything. I was in Barrio Logan at the, it was off Imperial. It was some hotel.
Okay.
I stayed there because it was really close to the trolley to where I can go back to Tijuana and still pick up.
Oh, gotcha.
But at that time, my picking up days were just gone. It was like I'm going across to Tijuana to pick up a 20. You know what I mean?
And
I
get a little bit more.
It was fucking brutal, dude. It was like, it was the worst time, you know, ever. I was homeless, still trying to, you know, as heroin addicts, we got to use. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to be sick.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to fight this case and I knew that it didn't look very good for me and I just didn't see an end in sight. Like everybody around me wanted nothing to do with me and you know, my family didn't want anything to do with me. And, I just had that desperation and I was like, fuck it. I'm done. I'm going to fucking kill myself tonight. And I wrote my mom and my sister a letter and, I put that whole gram of heroin in. And it fucking took me out.
Yeah.
So it took me out to where, you know, I was sitting up on the bed.
Yeah.
And how I woke up, I was basically my head and neck were against the bed frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I was slouched over, you know, like typical heroin junkie status, right?
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
And the only reason why I'm still here is because I put a little bit of meth in that fucking shot, you know? And it kept my fucking heart pumping.
Yeah.
Because I fell out. I was blue. You know what I mean? I couldn't see myself, but I could imagine, right? And then I woke up to the fucking hotel manager banging on the door. I was out for like fucking 12 hours or some bullshit, right?
Jesus.
Like it was already the next day or however. I don't know what the timelining of that
movie. Yeah.
And I just remember going like, you know, waking up going like, holy fuck, I'm still fucking here. Like, no fucking way, I'm still fucking here. Yeah. Like, I just shot a gram of black tar heroin in my fucking vein.
Yeah.
You know, and I suck and I see this fucking sappy ass fucking crybaby note. This fucking poor me fucking note. And that's when I'm like, fuck, I got to do something.
Wow.
I got to fucking figure this out. And I reached out to my mom and, you know, at first she really didn't trust me and she didn't think that I was very, you know, serious because, you know, I already had asked her before. Then I got some money from her. Then boom, I was gone again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, look, if you're serious, I will figure out a program for you right now.
Wow.
And I said, I just can't stay here. Okay. I can't stay here because everything, I can get dope anywhere, you know, and that's us addicts. We can be literally dropped off in the center of the fucking universe and we can find, find our people real quick.
Yeah.
Real fucking quick.
Yeah.
And so she was a born again Mormon.
Okay.
And she goes, hey, I talked to some friends. There's a place in Utah, blah, blah, blah. And they sent me out there and it was fucking boom. You know, the first time I've ever flown, I was 23 years old and I was flying in a plane for the first time. I was very San Diego, bro. Like I barely got out of the county, dog. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And I remember being fucking so fucking high, dude, off that plane too. I was so fucking loaded. And some people from the program picked me up and they took me to the place and it was not the right fit for me.
Okay.
Which, hindsight, it probably was a great fit because I don't do any of those things anymore. I don't, you know, drink energy drinks. I don't fucking smoke cigarettes. Yeah. You know what I mean? And these things were, you couldn't do when I was there. So as a heavy heroin addict like I was, I was saying, fuck you. You tell me I can't smoke cigarettes. I'm going to fucking change my life.
Right.
You know, I can't drink fucking, you know, their religion. You can't drink any sort of... no coffee.
Wow. No, oh, no caffeine at all.
None. Oh, zero. Zero. So
that's brutal.
In dust and fashion, I said, fuck you. I'm out.
Yes.
And
flew back to San Diego.
No, I went back to the airport and I slept in the fucking airport. And my mom's like, well, I'm not getting you a plane ticket home.
Oh,
and so she found me a place called Recovery Ways. And this place was the first time that I ever got clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to change my life. But you know, my behavior still, you know, allowed me to fucking just run amok. You know, another co-ed place. I'm sneaking up to the women's area to, you know, to have sex with this girl in this program. Yeah. I could get kicked out. You know what I mean?
But
like,
you didn't care.
Just dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously I didn't get caught. But the thing of it is like my behavior always got me to relapse. My behavior always got me into a fight. My behavior always got me into a altercation with a girlfriend.
Yes.
It was my attitude was so fucking shitty.
Mm.
I just didn't allow anybody to even come close to me because I was such a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole abuse came in. You know, doing the work that I've done on myself in relationships, you know, and my just self being, I just didn't have a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people broke in my trust.
Yeah. And you felt like you had nobody to go to.
No one.
And you felt alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really alone. And, you know, I got a sponsor that I can fuck with, you know?
Yeah.
And this person that was like, you know, charismatic, funny, you know, he fucking reminded me of my dad, you know?
I mean,
like that sort of funny. And he was always at this... The first NA meeting that I ever went to in San Diego, like we went there with Crash.
Yeah.
you get to like a level to where you can finally get out of the house. Right. And I made it to that level and man, Holly Street, babe. It was just
Holly
a fucking,
Street.
It was just that meeting still, I walk into that room and I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah.
The smell, you know what I mean? The smells, the white chairs, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many things about that meeting, the people that still go there that were going there when I fucking yeah. first start getting clean, you know what right. I mean? Like, and so that's the meeting that he was at. And, man, I was fucking wrong though. He said, all right, cool. You want me to sponsor you? Yeah. But we're going to do a step a month. First of all, you're going to call me for every 30 days. Mm. No texting. You're going to call me.
Ooh.
You're going to call me for 30 days straight and we're going to do a step a month. Are you down for that? And I said, yeah, sure. You know,
okay.
And he did not allow me to quit. Mm. He did not allow me to get sideways at any moment. Like he literally changed my fucking life.
Yeah.
He changed my life. At 2 years clean. I'd start working on myself. And by the time my third year, I was done with my steps.
Okay.
And my life and my recovery excelled after 3 years. And I tell that to people all the time. And I've seen people that actually work steps before,
mm-hmm.
but the, everything happens, things just start happening for people at 3 years, you know, and maybe it's a lucky number. I'm not too sure, you know, but,
yeah. No. I got off probation in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Told you.
That felt amazing.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Finally off.
Totally, right? That's such a fucking great feeling
to not
look over your shoulder, bro. The longest time, man, I would still look over my shoulder, though, because I just had a fucked up conscience.
Right.
You know, like when you're driving, you're like looking in the rear view mirror, like, oh, shit, a cop's behind me. You start fucking.
Oh, the heart. Yeah,
my butthole would pucker up. I'd say shit. I'm fucking screwed here, dude. even though I know I'm not, you know.
Yeah. But not yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Oh fuck, man. Well, man, I really appreciate having you on here, man. Yeah, is there any big plans for fucking LFG?
Oh, we got some huge ones, man. We got some big events that we're doing.
Fuck yes.
I'm doing a big drop for Biggs Harley Davidson right now. So all my all the North County people that don't want to shop online, they can go right into Biggs Harley Davidson and pick up some new gear.
They're
getting exclusive stuff that I've never even dropped on my website. So that's kind of cool for people.
Oh, shit.
I got a big event that I'm doing out in Arizona. Bike Week. We're going to be doing that next month, April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Fuck yeah.
And May, I'm pretty much doing an event every single month and they're all out of state. So, I mean, that's just really cool. And that's something that I really wanted to focus on this year is,
nice.
You know, I wanted to not so much be an Instagram page to where, you know, you know, right. buy online. Like I enjoy going to shows and like shaking hands with people
yes.
and, you know, just having conversations, man. Like,
yeah,
the podcast has been nothing but fucking a blessing too, because I'm getting all these people in the industry. And they're coming onto the show, and it's like the guy that I had on, God, he was such a fucking, his name's Brad, and he owns like a company up in Oregon.
Oh, cool.
And he was like, man, I just can't believe I'm sitting here and, you know, on your podcast. And I'm like, I can't believe that you're sitting here and I'm talking to you.
Yeah,
you
right.
And, you know, it's just the podcast has allowed me to interview so many great people. Like,
oh, fuck yeah.
You know, I don't know when is this episode going to drop?
I'm going to try tomorrow morning.
Oh, perfect.
Try.
Okay.
I got a couple things lined up today, but
nice. Well, yeah, I got an episode that's dropping on Monday.
Yes.
And it's with Natalie Wood from Bad Wood Clothing. So she's been a fucking huge impact, you know, for a lot of brands. And she's just been a friend of mine for a lot of years. And she had a really impactful story too.
Oh, no shit.
And so those are the interviews, you know what I mean, that we get to do, you know, like,
and
honestly, man, you're going to get there too. It's like, you're going to have these fucking banger ass episodes where you're going to sit there and you're going to go like, I can't believe I'm fucking doing this interview.
Yes.
You know, and
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And honestly, you will, man, you're doing a fucking great job. You're getting all these episodes out and, you're staying consistent. Like I said, in the beginning of the show, man, consistency wins. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Consistency wins, man. Every time. But yeah, you know, they can just follow along on the page, LFG 1904.
Nice.
If anybody ever needs any screen printing, please reach out to 1904 Print Shop, because a lot of people just assume like, oh, I just print for LFG. No, I print for Fuck Fentanyl. I print for Dollface. I print for fucking everybody. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. I have like some great construction companies that, you know, utilize, you know, me to print their shirts, and I'm just forever grateful, man. Like,
hell yeah, dude.
This recovery thing has allowed me to be here with you talking on this podcast, man. Like,
heck yeah, dude.
I never would have thought in a million years that I'd be a host or be on a podcast.
Right? Yeah.
Like never in a million fucking years, man.
Right.
So yeah, I appreciate you, man. Like,
thank you, man.
You know, I got to fucking be honest, man. Like I have so much going on, you know, and it's fucking really not a really great thing, you know, mm-hmm. because I feel like at times I'm Pinocchio, you know, and like I'm just trying to fucking, I have my hands everywhere and,
yeah.
you know, you're just a nice guy to where you're like, yeah, I want to do a podcast with you. And you were willing to come and, you know, do it from my studio. And I'm just grateful that I was able to like, you know, cut my shit off and just be like, you know what? I'm going to make time for you because you make time for other people and you make time for me too. So
yeah,
I'm really stoked that I'm here in your studio and doing this with you, man. Like, I just, like I said, I'm proud of you. Just keep fucking rocking it, dude. And you're going to fucking excel so hard.
Fuck yeah, man. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you, man. All right, man. Well, I hope you have a great rest of your fucking day, man.
And fuck yeah.
Keep fucking doing your thing, man. And let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Goodbye, everybody.